To your freedom, I cheat. shall prevail. Your word is stronger, we overcome. Your glory resounds through the air, all saints declaring your great renown. Kingdom forever will stay. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. Cause our God's a mighty warrior. He's a consuming fire. In victory he reigns. We triumph in his name. Jesus the great commander. You conquer death forever. In victory you reign. Triumph in your name. His glory resounds through the age, all saints declaring his great renown. The kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fail. I got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire.
My heart becomes free, and my shame is over. To break let's just lift our hands all over this room right now. Let's close our eyes. Just continue to stay in this moment of worship. Begin to open up your mouth and make a sound to Him. Begin to pray in your own language. Begin to sing your own song to Him. This is a moment of worship. We don't need to do anything else right now. You, just right where you are, encounter God. Father, we just slow down before you right now. There's power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, sing it like you mean it. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. thank you that you are the one who breaks every chain. We thank you that you are the lifter of our head. We thank you that you are our healer and our deliverer. You are our redeemer, our best friend, our mighty warrior, the one who goes before us, the one who girds us up from behind, the one who fights our battles, the one who gives us the victory. You are the one, Jesus. You are the one, and we worship you today. We shout, hallelujah! Love you, Jesus, and we worship you. We give you glory and honor and praise. Father, we just thank you for this start of Advent. We thank you for this season, Lord, where we get to expect your goodness. We get to expect your coming as we reenact the birth of Jesus. As we expect Jesus, even as we remember your coming to this earth, we expect you to come again. We know that the trials and tribulations, the temporary and light afflictions of this world are just that. They are temporary, and we can expect the glorious return of the Son of the living God. We are excited about what you are doing in us, Jesus. We are excited about the move of God in our midst. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Give God a big hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in online, thank you for joining us. If this is your first time with us, please step out into the foyer after the service. And we would like to give you a personal welcome right here at the Welcome Center and give you a gift. And thank you for being with us today. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. You can do so by check. If you're going to write a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. You can also do that on our My Church app. You can also do that by text. If you're watching online, just click the link in the description box or in the comment section. God bless you. And if I almost forgot to say this. You can come forward and drop your offering in the buckets if you're giving by cash or check. God bless you as you give.
The translation of that is we'll take your money any way we can get it. Come on. Come on, give the Lord praise. Amen. We'll take it anyway, cash, credit cards. You know, I was in India preaching several years ago in the 90s. It was an amazing thing because I watched as people got up and everybody brought their offering forward and there was no COVID. Come on. They live with COVID all the time, so in some way, shape, fashion, or form. And I watched as people came and gave, and I looked and there was watches and rings and wheat and barley and anything that they had, they gave based upon where they were. Come on. And so I watched as that big acrylic box just filled up with jewelry and money. And I remember, I've got it in my desk, I remember for preaching about 2 weeks in India, I received cash. I said, they said, listen, Pastor, please don't return this. When they give you an envelope with cash in it, don't return it, because we're trying to teach the Indian people that you bless the man of God. You bless the man of God. So they gave me envelopes, you know, with coins in them and everything. And I said, help me here, because I'm not really up on my rupees. How much money are we talking about here? And he said, I know it doesn't sound like much to you, but he said, sacrificially, they've given you for preaching these services, they've given you $1.14. And I refuse to spend it, amen? I've got it nestled away in my desk drawer next to a pastor's appreciation offering of a nickel in an envelope from a young boy who attended this church. And one thing I know, that when I leave this world, I won't leave broke. Come on, somebody. I won't leave broke. I have $1.14 plus 5 is $1.19 that I'm always good for. So if you ask me for $1.19, the answer is no. Okay? All right. Praise God. God's good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. We welcome you watching online today, and we're just glad you're here, a part of the worship service. And what a glorious time. You know, we're moving into the Advent season, pointing our way toward the end. Did you ever think you'd get to the end of 2020? Come on. And you know what? I mean, it seems like the heat's turned up in these past few weeks. How many of you noticed toilet paper's off the shelf again? Come on. Amen. They're turning the heat up on us again, and pressuring and pressing and closing down and all these other things. But you know what? You can't shut the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just can't do it. Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. And during this season, listen, God has called us to be the light. Amen. He's called us to be the light. And I'm so glad that there are still individuals that are saying, you know what, Pastor, I want to be a part of this fellowship. I want to take it a step further. I've been sitting in the pews. Some of them even been serving already, but we want to unite with the church by way of membership. So when I call your names, I just simply want you to come and stand here with me on the platform. And we just want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. And we want to make certain that we pray over you. Matter of fact, I'm going to make it a little easier. We're going to stay on the lower level here, and that'll be a little bit easier for you. So Terrence Moore and Donna Johnson, would you guys come? Praise the Lord. You can give them a hand as they come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Joel and Melissa Tapscott. Praise God. And James Morgan. Praise the Lord. We're going to let James sit right there. James had surgery in Greenville just a couple of days ago, and we tried every means of just letting him off the hook. But you know what? He wanted to be baptized today. He wants to join the church today. He said, man, I'm going to get there, but can I just stay in my seat? So would you give it up for James Morgan over here? Praise the Lord. We're just excited about you guys, and thank you for just stepping out and saying, hey, we want to unite with this church by way of membership. And I always ask everybody who's been through a membership class, hey, why Carpenter Shop? What makes you want to be a part of this church? And then the last thing I have to ask them is just an ethical thing. There's no written rules on this, but we always say, hey, can you tell us if you were transferring from another church, which church that is? Because I just want to write them a letter this week and say, nah, 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 nah. Okay? So we just love you that much, okay? No, in all seriousness, we just want to acknowledge what church you've been a part of, if you've been a part of another one, and their deposit into your life that brought you to this point. And so right now, would you just stretch a hand this way and let's pray for these. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we just come before you today with gratitude in our hearts, God. We thank you for all of these today, uniting with us by way of membership. And Lord, I pray that your richest blessings would be upon them. As Lord, would you cause us to be faithful to give everything that they need through way of inspiration, encouragement, support, prayers, Lord, just discipleship, whatever we need to do to make their journey sweeter and more effective. We commit as a body of believers to that in Jesus' name. And Lord, likewise, we thank you that they're in a position now, God, to say, hey, here's my gift. Here's my giving. Here's my gift of what God has enabled me to do. And I give it back to his kingdom with joy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give it up for them as we welcome new members. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You can be seated, everybody except Joel. Joel, you can hang right there. It's a great day today, too, because we have an opportunity to baptize in water. And so I'm going to ask Joel to come to the platform here. And I'm going to pull this heater out of here, Joel, lest you remember that was the day you got electrocuted. So I'm just going to pull this out, okay? How many of you know wires and water just don't go together? Come on. Praise the Lord. You can step right in there, Joel. Even in the midst of COVID, turn around the other way if you would. There you go. Even in the midst of COVID, we discovered that, just like last week, why should we not have special guests? Why should we not schedule revivals? I've just this past week, I was thinking, you know, God, what do you want to do in 21? And I heard the Lord just begin to speak to me about amazing things for 2021. And so I'm already committing that to prayer and saying, God, you know, who do I have to come and what do we do this year that's unique and valuable to this church and to this community? There's so many things that we've been able to do. You know, weeks now we've been giving away food from the parking lot just to bless people. And God's given us favor. Benefactors have come alongside us and said, hey, we want to bless you here. We want to bless your ministry so you can do this. And so even this week on Wednesday, they just ask us, hey, do you want to give away one Thanksgiving week too? You know, maybe we can back it up. So Wednesday, we give away another tractor trailer load of food right here in the parking lot. Amen. God is good. God is good. God's done incredible things. One of those incredible things is that when we had revival just several weeks ago, God just supernaturally moved upon many lives. But there's two men that God I just watched from a distance. I thought, man, he's getting juiced, you know? He's really getting juiced. These two guys were just broken at the altars, weeping. And here they are today to be baptized in water. So, Joel, I'm going to give you the microphone here and just let you give a praise to the Lord before we baptize you today.
Jesus, in your name we pray. I just cannot thank you enough, Lord, for raining your holy fire down on me and burning away my chains, washing away my sins, and making me a newborn baby, Lord. I will forever be in your debt and follow whatever footsteps and whatever my path leads to service you, my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Andy, could you step over here and hold this microphone for me, because I don't want to take a chance on getting it wet. Let's hold it to my mouth. It's just a wonderful thing to see the glory of God manifested in the lives of people. And I'm thankful for the blessing of salvation to come at such a critical time, such a time when the earth is so confused, even our nation is so divided and so disrupted. But in the depth of our spirit, there's still a God. Come on. There's still a God who reaches out and says, you know what, my arm's not too short that I can't save you. So, Joel, it's my privilege as your pastor to baptize you upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eyes on Joel Tapscott, okay? Because we believe great things are coming out of him and out of his life, and we look forward to seeing what God does. Praise the Lord. One of the concerns that James Morgan had was, he said, man, I just don't want to miss this baptism. I said, you know what, James, you don't have to miss the baptism. Every year or so, when I go to Israel, I always make it a point to share with my guests that are with me, hey, make sure you get some Jordan River water. And they said, well, what do you do with that? And I said, man, you don't know what a blessing this has been, because every time I go into a nursing home or a hospital and maybe there's a conversion and maybe there's a disappointment in the part of someone who maybe they walked with God and then they got off path, they came back and they said, man, I just wish I could be baptized again, but I know it's impossible. And no, it's possible. If you know anything about Christianity, you know that there are some people that don't do like we do. There's some people that don't go under, okay? They call them what? Methodist, okay? Haven't you read about John the Sprinkler in the Bible? Amen. They baptize with a small vessel. I remember many, many years ago with a great friend of mine who I still keep in touch with, Dr. Ken Hall, pastored here for about 8 years. And one day we had a minister's meeting and I said, Ken, I said, you know what? I said, I've been pastoring here in this community for several years now, but I said, because of the nature of what we do, I've never been in your church. I've never seen your sanctuary. He said, really? I said, yeah, I've come to meetings like this, but I've never been in your sanctuary. He said, let me show it to you. Stepped into the sanctuary, turned the lights on, walked around. We walked up to the front. I said, man, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. And there was a little table, just a little table there to the right of the platform. And I said, and I knew what it was, but I just wanted to get him to talk about it. And it had a little handle, you know, a little dome thing at the top. You could take the lid off. I said, what is that? He looked at me. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, what is that? He said, that's the baptistry. I said, Pastor Ken, how in the world would you get a big guy like me in a little bowl like that? Amen? He laughed. He said, you know, it really doesn't matter, does it? I said, no, it doesn't. And so, James, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You don't have to miss your baptism today. Amen? You get to publicly affirm what happened to you during that revival meeting. And so I'll give you a chance to just to share a testimony.
Yes, sir. I told Pastor when I came to this church, it was just like something hitting me like a ton of bricks. It just, I felt like I belonged here. And every word that he's spoken, that everybody has spoken, it's hitting me, and it's hitting me deep. And I've been missing something in my life, and I need that back in my life. I found great peace with a great woman and leading me in the direction that I need to go, and then following you. And I need to get direction to show my kids that how I need to be. And I can't do that unless I get myself right first. And I love y'all. Y'all my family. I love y'all to death, and I appreciate it.
Praise God. So, James, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not only that, you can have the water, okay? Praise the Lord. Give the Lord praise today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to see each of you here today. There was a time when, many years ago, when a young couple stood on this platform and led us in worship. We did early services for about 9 years. We met here in the sanctuary at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I remember seeing that early service basically outgrow the second service. People were coming early. And we did that for about 9 or 10 years. And we enjoyed those days with Jamie and Sheila Burgess. And welcome guys today. Would you welcome them? The unfortunate thing is they're not here today because they just wanted to worship with us. They're here today because the end of life on earth has come for her father, Whit Edwards. And we have the honor of doing his service tomorrow. So our prayers are with you and your family, Sheila, and may God's best be yours as you walk through life without him. You walked all your life with him, but now you have to face the challenge of walking through life without him. And I said to her earlier before the service, not been down that road yet, but my heart goes out to you guys today. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray together that the Lord would have his way in our word today to you people. To those who are online, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today with a sense of just gratitude. Thankful for new members, thankful for new salvations, thankful, God, that you're still doing amazing things in our lives and in the lives of people. And Lord, we bless our time together right now as we break your word open. May it be a light unto our path today. May it be hidden in our heart, as David said, that we might not sin against you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Also want to remind you, Wednesday night, we always back away on services on holiday week. So we bless you for Wednesday, your kids and your whole family. We will not be having service here. We will have an online presence. Make sure you follow that in the Parables of Jesus, Pastor Mike. But we will not be meeting here on Wednesday night. Well, I'm enjoying the series. I hope you are. It's called the Enjoy Life series. Amen. And today we're talking about something very important, and that is conquering complaining. Now, without raising your hand, how many of you can understand what we're talking about when we're somebody who just nags all the time? Come on. Don't raise your hand, please. Please. I don't want to have to call the law or anything, you know. I don't want to have to raise the dead. I just don't want to do that today. But conquering complaining. You know, the Bible talks about this, and I want to turn your attention to the book of Philippians. We've been using Philippians throughout this series, and we'll continue to do so. Philippians chapter number 2, the verses that I want to read today are verses 12 to 15 and concentrate on the last couple. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Notice what he says here. It's deeper. Your walk with God is deeper than you just coming to repentance. How many of y'all know that? It's deeper than that. He says, I want you to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody say, work it out. You work it out. This is a lifelong journey. In fact, you'll be on it until they are standing there watching you be memorialized in a service like tomorrow. You'll still be working out your salvation. Verse 13, for it is a God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Notice this. God is consistently, constantly willing and acting in our lives. I like the way he says that. And then he says, I want you to do this. He said, I want you to do everything without grumbling or arguing. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I want you to do everything without grumbling or arguing. And then he gives us the reason why. I'm just studying the Bible out loud. That's all I'm doing. He says, so that you may become blameless and pure. We'll break that down for you in about 20 minutes. So that you can become blameless and pure and be, quote here, children of God without fault in a warped and a crooked generation. Amen. Then, somebody say then. Then if you allow God to take this critical spirit away from you, this complaining spirit away from you, if you allow him to sever that off of your life as you work out your salvation through discipleship. Come on, y'all catch this. Don't miss it. Amen. He says, then what I will cause is for you to shine among them. Who's them? The warped generation that we live in, the world. I will cause you to shine among them like what? Like stars in the sky. Come on, say shine, Lord. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine on my spirit. Shine on me this hour and change me into what you would have me to be. Notice what he says here. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and a depraved generation. One translation says warped and perverse, in which you shine like stars in the universe. This week, as we continue this Enjoy Life series, we tackle the vice of a complaining spirit. Paul commands us, he says, do everything, everything, everything without complaining and without arguing. I'm going to give you some examples of some people that have not had a perfect track record in this subject matter. Now look around the church real good. You know, I'm going to use some examples of human beings, but not here, okay? I'm going to go to the Bible, okay? I'm going to go to the big church. I'm going to go to the kingdom of God. Let's talk about the first one, David. David was a whiner. Did you know that? We said, I thought he was a king. I thought he was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, but he didn't have every step in order all the time. How many of y'all know that's so true? David had a history, and if you read what David wrote, and primarily in the Psalms, you'll discover that David spent most of his time in the early portion of the Psalm. There's a pattern here. We call it a what? A lament. He's pouring out his complaint. He's pouring out his negativity. He listened to the negative. He usually wises up in the end. I love the pattern because if you listen to the psalmist in the beginning, he usually pours out his lament, his complaint. But then in the end, he'll take a turn and he'll make his appeal to the right hand of the Most High God. He'll turn and he'll get it right. Amen. That's what God wants some of you today to do, to get it right. Amen. He wants you to get it right. So David was a whiner. Psalm 73 is an example, verses 13 and 14. The context here in this passage, you don't have to exhaust yourself discovering why I'll tell you. The context of why David was complaining here is because David was pausing, as we do sometime, and he was comparing himself to people who had more money than him. Come on. Have you ever had that conversation in your family? Especially when maybe the car ran hot, or it was, you say, well, I got to go pick my husband up. His truck is in the shop. I wish he'd do something different. But you say, well, what does that have to do with me? Because sometimes we can compare ourselves and say, you know, how come we work like a dog and we're driving junk and they got a nice car? Okay. Anybody ever done that? Come on. You don't have to raise your hand. I know you've done it. Okay. David is in the midst of complaining and comparing himself to the wealthy. He says in the previous verses that are so, he says that they're so carefree. People who are so wealthy, David says they're carefree. They don't have any worries. Amen? He says it like this. He says, surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain I've washed my hands and hands of innocence. He says, and all day long I've been plagued and I've been punished every morning. But he's comparing himself to people who are well-to-do, if you look in the context of Scripture. He whines through the whole psalm, and he starts asking himself the question, have I been wasting my time by living right? Why should I go through the trouble of living a pure life, David is asking himself. You see, people who whine are like that. People who whine, people who complain, they'll always say things like this. It's not fair. I don't deserve where I am right now. I press just as hard as she does. See, they'll compare themselves. Everybody else seems to get all the breaks. Have you heard people say that before? Do you remember the story Jesus told in the parable of the workers of the vineyard? Listen to it this Wednesday night. But Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, the verses are 1 to 15, and I've chosen to read it so we can better understand it in the context of our currency. I've chosen to read it in the Message, Matthew 20, 1 to 15. It goes like this. God's kingdom is like an estate manager who went out early in the morning to hire workers to work in his vineyard. They agreed on a wage of $1 a day and went to work. Now notice what it says here. They agreed on a wage of $1 a day and went to work. Later, about 9 o'clock, the manager saw some other men hanging around the town square, unemployed. You've seen that before. He told them to go work in his vineyard, and he would pay them a fair wage. They went. At 5 o'clock, he went back, and still, what did he find? He found others standing around. He said, why are you standing around here all day doing nothing? They said, because no one hired us. He told them to go to work in his vineyard, and when the day's work was over, the owner of the vineyard instructed his foreman. He calls the supervisor here, and he says, hey, call the workers in and pay them their wages. Start with the last one hired and go on to the first one. In other words, start with the one who worked just, you know, I hired him at 4 o'clock. He worked an hour, okay? Just start with him. And he says, those hired at 5 o'clock came up and they were given $1, okay? Then when those who were hired first saw that, they assumed that they would get far more. You know, we're coming up on the time of Christmas bonuses. How many of y'all are going to be in the break room saying, what did you get? You know, what did you get? And people will do that because they'll want to know, have I been treated, you know, the very same? I've been here longer than you, you know. And that's what's happening here. He says, those hired at 5 o'clock came up and they were given $1. And when those who were hired first saw that, they assumed that they would get far more. But they got the same, each of them $1. Taking the dollar, they groused angrily to the manager, these last workers put in only an easy hour, and you just made them equal to us, who slaved all day under the scorching sun. Verse 13, he replied to the one speaking for the rest, friend, I haven't been unfair. We agreed on the wage of a dollar, didn't we? A dollar for the day. Now, we don't know how much the day is going to be for you, but we agreed on the dollar for the day. So take it and go. And I decided to give to the one who came last the same as you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Are you going to get stingy because of my generosity? Amen? How many times have we been in a similar situation where maybe you felt like, you know what, I don't understand this? You know, I was in a position recently where I was on the same playing field with other individuals, and we all received a token of appreciation, and I'd been serving a long time, but others on that team had been serving a very short time. And guess what everybody got? The same. Okay? And so what happens here in these situations is we're called upon ourselves to examine our heart. You know? Are we going to complain about it? Are we going to get upset about it? Life is not always fair. And as long as you complain about the fact that life is not fair, it only makes you more miserable. Amen? And whining will never help you a bit. Whining is irritating. The Bible tells you that. You know where it tells you that? Proverbs 27. Look at verse 15 and 16. A nagging spouse is like the drip, drip, drip of a leaky faucet. Now, ease up now. Be careful. You can't turn it off, and you can't get away from it. I noticed none of y'all are turning your heads. You're looking straight at me. The good thing is it says a nagging spouse. It doesn't say wife. It doesn't say husband, okay? Proverbs 21:19. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. We just need to do what? Stop whining. Stop complaining. David was a whiner. The second person is Moses. Moses had a martyr spirit. They're the ones that say, you know, I just would give up. Nobody appreciates me anyway. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I'm wasting my time. Nobody cares. Okay, Numbers 11 to 15. Moses is inquiring of the Lord here. He says, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? He's talking about him as a leader of God's people. Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I can't carry these people by myself. The burden's too heavy for me, Lord. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. Go ahead and put me out of my misery. This is the leader of God's people. And if I've found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. Moses had this martyr spirit. Man, just go ahead and let me just get out of here. Let me just go ahead and check out because I can't handle your people. These types of people are pros at having pity parties. Come on, y'all know some of them. They're pros at having pity parties. When they're sick or they're under pressure, how many of you know people that when they get sick, they're sick for a long time? Well, how are you doing? Well, I'm hanging in there. You know, they just want you to reach out and touch their back and say, it's going to be all right. I know you're better than you want to perceive that you are right now, but you're going to be all right, okay? You're not going to die. I've asked people, hey, how are you doing? I'm better. Better. Really? How come your face don't say so? Come on, y'all. How come your face don't say so? I'm doing okay. We have to watch the profession of our mouth because we might not just be like David, a whiner. We might have this martyr spirit like Moses. We have to be careful. Folk like to have pity parties. And the bad thing about it is when you have a pity party and invite all these people, nobody shows up. Amen? Third type is a cynical type of person like Solomon. Cynical people always say, nothing's ever going to change. Nothing, never going to change. I've been in that organization for 20 years. It's always been the same. Look at what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but nothing changes. The earth remains the same. Cynical people. This is the kind of person just says, what's the use? What's the use? Not going to change. Nothing going to change. What's the use? She's never going to change. Well, man, you need to show more love. Huh, I've tried that. She ain't going to change. Y'all have talked to people like that before. Sometimes Pastor Joy will catch me in my lamenting. And I'm pouring it out, man. I'm just walking around the room, and I'm just giving it out. And I'll think, is she listening to me? And I'll turn around and look at her. You know what she's doing? She's got a violin. She's going, come on, man. Give me a break. She heard me yesterday. I was having a conversation live on speakerphone. And she heard me yesterday kind of challenge back the person who was on the other end. And I challenged him again. And then it didn't work. And I challenged him again. And she, on speakerphone now, she holds her voice down and she says, he's already told you three times. Okay. So I shifted the gears and I said, hey, well, I appreciate it, man. Listen, you take care of yourself. Everything's going to be all right. Then I hung up the phone and I looked over there like, what? What? I mean, whose team are you on here? She said, give yourself a break. He's not going to change his mind. And you know what? I hate to say it. She was right. Amen. As I reeled back the tape in my own mind, I was just going for it. I wanted to make him, here's the thing, it's human nature. I wanted to make him feel as frustrated as he made me feel with his first statement. Let that settle in for a second. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? I wanted him to feel frustration. Pastor, what was it? It was a real estate deal. I do that on the phone, okay? And he made a statement that I said, man, I called you. I've been tracking you down for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I did. Well, I called you and you ain't answering your telephone. I said, man, I answer my phone. Well, I called you several times and it didn't even go into voicemail. So he gave the contract to someone else. Okay? And then as I got thinking about that, I thought, you know what? Romans 8:28. Why did I complain, especially on a Saturday when I'm preaching this on a Sunday? Come on, that ain't fair, God. But why did I complain? Maybe, and I just believe in my heart of hearts, God was sparing me from something that I could not see. So when he made the statement to me the first time, I called United Country Realty. I should have just said, hey, I hope everything goes well for you. Now, y'all feel better that I've confessed my sins before you? It's just easier to tell somebody to do that than it is to do it yourself. So the question is, how do you conquer complaining? How do you conquer an attitude when it flares up in your flesh? The Bible says you are to do what? Do everything without complaining and without arguing. How do you do that? How do I conquer this problem, and how do I conquer this problem so that I can enjoy life more? Less stress. How do I deal with my complaining spirit so that everyone around me enjoys life more? Well, I got a few things for you. Number one is admit that it is a problem for you. It's not a problem for other people. It's a problem for who? Moi. Okay? It's a problem for me. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces finds mercy. Lord, I thank you for giving me a live illustration yesterday. Okay? Often the most difficult part in learning how to handle complaining is recognizing it in yourself. If someone recorded you for a week, they just pulled it out and just recorded you for a week, what would it reveal about your speech and what would it reveal about your attitude? How much time do you spend griping and grumbling and complaining and arguing, saying, this stinks? How much time do you devote to that? You got to admit it. It's a problem for me, you have to say. Complaining isn't a bad habit. Complaining is a sin. Why? Because the Bible says don't do it. The Bible says do everything without complaining. It's a command in the Word. We need to confess it. It's a sin. It's serious. Check this out. Complaining was the sin that kept the Israelites out of the promised land. Come on. They grumbled and complained for 40 years. The Bible says seven times. Somebody say seven. Seven times they murmured. The reason they never got to see the promised land was because they were complainers. And that's how serious God says a complaining spirit is. He simply wants you and I to do what? Admit it and confess it. Lord, help me here. I have a natural tendency to be negative. We do. Amen. Secondly, accept responsibility for my own life. Accept responsibility for my own life. Many times complaining is just an attempt to blame other people for the situation that if you got to the root of it, I probably created it myself. Okay? So, or excuse myself and put the focus on somebody else. I brought the problem into my life. I'm the cause of it. But if I complain, maybe I can shift the focus onto somebody else and give myself a break. Come on. You know what? That was the problem in the Garden of Eden. Remember the story? Adam is called into accountability by who? By God. Adam is called into accountability for this sin, this partaking of the fruit in the tree of the garden. And what did he say? Is that woman you gave me? In other words, my goal when I'm called into accountability is to project the blame onto someone else. If I can project the blame onto someone else, then I can get off scot-free. Okay? Proverbs 19:3. A man's own folly ruins his life, and his heart rages against the Lord. Another translation puts it like this. Some people ruin themselves by their own stupid mistakes, and then they blame the Lord. God didn't come through for me. But we reap what? What we sow. Thank you. We reap what we sow. When I reap what I sow, I have no legitimate right to complain about the results. I'm free to choose what I want to do in life. God's given me the freedom of choice. And once you have made the choice, you're no longer free. Once you've made the choice, then you've got to live with the consequences of your choice. You reap what you sow. Whatever you want in life, you've got to give it out. That's an inviolable rule that God has. God's not going to violate his principle on this. You reap it, you sow it. Amen? You reap it, you sow it. If you want friends, the Bible's clear on this. If you want friends, you know what you have to do? Show yourself friendly. Amen? If you want friends, you show yourself friendly. Praise God. If you want appreciation at home, you've got to give appreciation at home. Amen? If you want to be treated kindly, you got to be kind. You reap what you sow. So you have to, number one, admit you have a problem with complaining. And secondly, you have to accept responsibility for moi, for yourself. And then thirdly, develop, here we are at Thanksgiving week, develop an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I love this verse. Give thanks. Notice what it says here. Preposition can change everything. Give thanks in all circumstances. Doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Thank you, Lord. Okay. But give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Notice the Bible doesn't say give thanks for all the circumstances. It says give thanks in all. Once you're in a situation, God wants you to thank him for what he's doing in that, in spite of how it's turned out. God, I thank you for this. Romans 8:28 teaches us God is the only one that can take the negative circumstances of our lives and turn them around for good. He has a pattern, and he fits even the bad things in our lives into that pattern for good. So in everything, I can do what? Give thanks. I develop an attitude of gratitude as I learn to be grateful for what I have. It's a tremendous, I love this, it's a tremendous antidote. What is an antidote is? It means when you squirt that in through the needle, It cancels the poison. Check this out now. It cancels the poison. The antidote does that. It stops the poison when you get bit by the snake. The poison is reversed. So if you will walk in gratitude, you know what will happen? You will complain less. If you shoot it with gratitude, then you'll have no room for the complaining spirit to come out of your mouth. Amen? I mean, you know, hey, when the guy called me yesterday, I said, listen. Hey, I wanted to let you know that I called him, actually. Hey, did you need me to stop those papers by? You know, it's Saturday. I'm taking care of some transactions here. You need me to stop that? Oh, I got somebody else. You didn't call me back. And instead of just saying, oh, I'm sorry about that. Maybe another time. I didn't say that. I wish I had of. Maybe another time. No, I challenged him on what you done to me. Why'd you do that? You didn't call me. You won't answer your phone. I do answer my phone, okay? I do answer my phone. Come on, y'all help me here. How many know Pastor will answer his phone? Come on. But he says he called me 4 or 5 times, no answers. So I found myself saying, you know what, God? I don't know why this happened, but maybe you spared me from some crazy transaction that would have taken place in the midst of it. So I got the antidote, okay? God just shot me with rejection, and it was an antidote for what could have been a bad situation coming up that I didn't even know about it. Why is it so hard to look at things objectively like that? Why do we always want to just throw the fist up and get ready to fight this demon? Come on. Anybody else like that besides me? Please raise your hand. Of course there are things in your life you're not satisfied with. There are some things in your marriage that you maybe you'd like to change. Maybe some things in the business world you would surely love to see happen differently. Habits about yourself, habits within your own life, you just can't seem to conquer. Your mate, your children, your boss man, you know, your employees. There's some things that you'd just like to see differently. But I believe there are also some things in those situations and people that you could also look and be thankful for them, okay? Be thankful for my wife. Be thankful for my husband. You know, just be thankful. Be thankful. Be filled with gratitude. The Bible says we're to do everything without complaining and arguing that we may be the sons of God. Whoa, that's heavy. You're working out your salvation. So if you keep on, you know, is God just going to say, hey, man, out of here. I don't need you in my family. Well, no, that's not mercy, Pastor. Listen. The more I walk this thing out, the more difficult it becomes to understand sometimes. How do you balance mercy and grace? How do you balance all that theologically? I don't have all the answers. But listen, God says this. We are to do everything without complaining and arguing that we may be the sons of God that we're called to be. Blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in which we shine as lights in the world. We'll stand out in a crowd. We'll shine like lights because we're different. Philippians 4:11, Paul says it this way. And Paul, listen, if you study what happened to him at Philippi, man, that was a jacked up trip. That was a bad trip. But Paul says what? I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Amen? You know, when you have a flat tire, you just go, glory to God, hallelujah. No, you don't do that. You don't do that at all. But you go to the back and you look and you find that little Dunkin' Donut back there in the back, you know. And you say, whoa, thank God, I didn't know if there was one in this car or not. So what do? You result from frustration to a thankful spirit that at least you got what we used to call a get me to the station tire. Come on. At least you got one. How many times have you had a flat and you realize, I've done this before, I realize, oh, I let somebody borrow this, okay, and I don't have one. I've had it happen before. So we have to be content, whatever circumstance we find ourselves. Paul writes this when he's a prisoner in Rome. The situation that you're in is not there to determine your level of happiness. When you learn to be happy and joyful in spite of the circumstance, you know what that is? That's maturity. God wants us to give thanks, to offer gratitude in every situation. So admit you have a problem, accept the responsibility for your own life, learn to give thankfully, and then fourth and finally, practice speaking positively. Amen? I remember when my wife was teaching school, before she became a chaplain with hospice, she taught about 5 years in the school system. And I wanted to be a helpful husband, so I would go and help her set up her stations, you know. And she, 1 year she had a teepee in the room, and I helped make the teepee. And she had a reading chair. We went to a flea market and found one of the biggest, brightest Florida orange-colored chairs we could find for $20. And it was her reading chair in the corner. And I would go in voluntarily and just try to help a little bit, make this journey as a teacher a little more enjoyable. And I picked up on something. She would stand, you know, it would drive me crazy. I would see kids acting up, and she would stand, and she would say, "I like the way Jonathan is sitting up tall in his seat and listening." I'd say, "What's she doing? How about Calvin over there just slumping all over like he's falling asleep? Calvin, sit up, man. Pay attention." She didn't do that. "I like the way Jerry is sitting there quietly, already read his lesson." So she was doing a psychological thing. She was projecting positive statements about those that she could. And you know what it did? It got the attention of the slumping Calvins. It got the attention of the Jerry who was not doing right. And he just kind of sit up a little bit. She didn't have to make a scene over Calvin. She praised Jonathan, and it worked out. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I like the way. So why don't you try that? Instead of coming home and, you know, I remember a time in my life when my father-in-law, he said, when I was dating Joy, he said, "You know, we live a busy life, and sometimes we have this thing that Joy's mom makes. She takes macaroni and cheese and puts chicken in it. And you know what you have then? Macaroni and cheese with a little chicken in it." Okay? That's what it is. And she put cream of mushroom soup has to go in there too, and you call it a casserole. Okay? You know? So Mr. Thomas is quiet one time. And I was wondering, he's not eating a whole lot. Man, he's been working in the fields all day. He's not eating a whole lot. Joy told me, she said, "He's tired of this stuff. He's tired. We have it a lot, okay? We have it a lot. You know, mom's taking care of her mom. She's bedridden for 13 years. She's working a job. But dad didn't complain. And, you know, how about when you, is this all we got? You know, how many husbands have said that? Come on. Is this all we got? How about saying, "Well, you know what? I just want to thank you, honey, for fixing my dinner. You open up that pie hole, you'll get it down. You'll get it down. It may not be what you want, but you'll get it down." Practice speaking positively. Ephesians 4:29. "Do not let unwholesome talk," ouch, "come out of your mouth." This is the word of God, folks. Check this out. "But only what is helpful," only "what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Honey, thank you for this casserole. You know, I love it. I'd like to have it again sometime before Christmas. Okay, you know, here it is February, okay? You can slide something in there maybe to help her understand, right? "But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." The Bible says we're going to give an account. This bothers me. The Bible says we're going to give an account of every idle word that we speak. Wow. Paul is saying, don't let junk come out of your mouth. Amen? "But only that which helps people with their needs, only that which benefits them." What are the results of not complaining? Three things. Worship team, you can join me here. Three things. Bless you. Three things that are the results of not complaining. Do everything without complaining or arguing, and then he gives us the three results. Number one, so that you can become blameless. Okay? You're cleared. This is not your fault. It's not going this way because of your attitude. Secondly, Paul goes on to say that you become pure. When you just read that at surface value, it doesn't really speak anything to you, that you can become pure. But if you look this word up in the original language, which is Greek here in the New Testament, this word for pure is translated integrity. That's what it's translated, integrity. So stop complaining because it lends character to you. Wow. It gives character to you. It improves your integrity. Non-complainers are people of integrity. He continues, children of God, so that you can become children of God without fault and you can shine like a star. Have you ever heard somebody say this? I'll tell you what, man, he's been through a lot. Help me here. But he never complained. Okay? I'll tell you one thing, man, she went through an awful ordeal, but she never complained. Can you remember the words about Jesus? And he opened not his mouth. Okay? Jesus modeled this for us. He modeled this in the most horrific time of his life on earth. If anything, he just uttered this, Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. Just forgive them. God, help us not to be people who complain. We will surely help others enjoy life more. And I'm convinced that we will enjoy life more. Our culture is so negative. When you find a person who's positive, they stick out like a sore thumb. Have you ever said this about somebody? Pastor Joy and I have talked about people before and say, you know, every time I get around them, I just feel better when I leave their presence. Have you ever said that about somebody? Or have you ever had to say this? Man, I don't enjoy getting around them because every time I get around them, I just feel dirty. Have you ever said that before? I have. I don't like getting around them because I just feel dirty when I leave their presence. This is the reality. We're all faced with the challenge here. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he brings this and he sandwiches it in the midst of a series of messages from Philippians called Enjoying Life. You will have a much better life if you will learn to bridle your tongue. Amen? Just learn to zip, zip. Don't say anything. We've even said this before. If you can't say anything good about someone, don't say nothing. Okay? Don't say anything. It would make you such a standout. Paul said you'd shine like a star. Wouldn't it be great that our church had a reputation of, man, that's where all the positive people go. You know, everybody's so kind there. I've been there before, man. They welcome you. They're kind. Wouldn't it be great if that's where all the positive people go? That's the church that's known for love and unity and harmony. They're shining like a star in a dark world. How about your family? Man, that family's so positive. I've been to family gatherings where it seems like everybody's so happy. And I think, man, your last name's not Phillips. Because I've been to some of my family gatherings, and guess what? I don't want to go back. Anybody? Come on. I don't want to go back. I got enough of that treatment. But you and I are faced with that. We're not talking about organizations and collective gatherings and big crowds as much as we are right now. Let's talk about me. God, what are you saying to me today about this issue of a complaining spirit? Is it an embedded thing that maybe I've not dealt with something else? God, help me. our prayer team, our ministers, if you would just come and stand at the front. The Bible says that you're not just a conqueror. What does it say? You're more than a conqueror, okay? You're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Stand with me, congregation, would you? I don't have to ask a question like this. How many of you are struggling sometimes in your life with a complaining spirit? You know why? Because we all do. How many of you are tired of having to correct? Tired of having to reprimand? Tired of having to show this person? Tired of having to show that employee? Tired of having to model this? Maybe you're just tired. And maybe you feel like just blowing up. Or maybe it's just something small. Maybe the Holy Spirit has said, listen, man, I want to give you a grace to handle this person on the job. I want to give you a grace to handle this conflict in your relationship. I want to give you a special grace to be content right now because greater days are coming. Whatever that is, please just step out of your seat and come. Let someone just lay hands on you and just agree with you. Come on, step out of your seat right now and just come and allow someone to agree with you. Just move out. If you have a prayer need too, if you have something physical going on in your body, maybe a challenge in your health, maybe something that's a mountain for you and you just can't seem to get up the side of it, just step out of your seat right now. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Our mission to shine like stars. That's what Paul is pleading with us for. I want you to shine like a star. Jesus said it like this. I want you to be the salt of the earth. Amen. I want you to be a light upon a hill. Don't want to be known for complaining. Don't want to be known for yak, 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 yak. Don't want to be known for that. I want to be known for being content, having peace in my heart. Amen. Father, I pray that over this congregation today. Let it be so, Lord, especially in a very challenging time, in a season when we're frustrated with distancing and mask and squirting a little this on you. And you have to wait. I can't help you. We're out of it. Come back next week. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to be people of contentment. Help us to show the world how to handle pressure. Help us to show the world how to handle pressure. Shining like stars in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Go in the peace of the Lord and enjoy your Sunday afternoon. Be safe out there. God bless you.